The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, guys, it's Tim in Los Angeles. I just, you wanted us to call you about whether or not Dooku had met Anakin and Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars series. And I don't know. I've never seen it. So... can't help you there. I don't know if that's happened or not. Anyway, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
And I'm Chrysanthi Tan from chrysanthitan.com.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back indeed.
Yeah. You are one of, I'm not going to say it's a rare breed, you're one of the, firmly on the side of prequels are good.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. Especially this one.
Is this your, this is my favorite of the prequels.
Okay, let me just get this out there right off the bat before people start to hate this episode too much. Watching Revenge of the Sith in theaters was hands down, and I'm not even joking, the most emotional, cathartic, incredible, best, number one movie-going experience of my life to date.
Wow.
Wow.
Even more so than Episode 7 or the new ones. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, I guess we should talk about when you first saw it and everything, or is it too early?
Well, since we're there now, sure. What made it so great?
Well,
at the time, or even now?
I'm not saying that it was better than 7 or 8, I was younger. Mm-hmm. So I was just in that sweet spot where I was old enough to understand everything going on and, you know, have intense emotions about it and be really impacted by the details and by the whole saga. But I was young enough to not be too critical. Mm-hmm. So it was just the perfect storm of events that made my brother and I, too, we were in high school, that made us, he concurs. I talked to him about it last night.
Cool.
Yes. So
where did you see it?
Long Beach Town Center, Long Beach, California.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. High school, you would normally think you would be a little cynical.
Oh, no.
That's where people start to get.
Not when a new Star Wars is coming out, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
It's that exception to everything.
Return to innocence.
Because we didn't know that new Star Wars were coming out.
Yeah, you thought this was the last Star Wars ever.
In elementary school, I thought I would never get to see. I mean, I could like cry thinking about it. It was incredible. So... let's talk about it.
All right.
Yeah. Well, this is the first one that we're going to talk about, the first minute, that is minute 16, which starts with Palpatine saying, "Now we must leave." So see you later, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute. And it ends with Anakin telling R2 to activate elevator 3224. Once again, why are there so many elevators on this ship?
There's so many elevators.
Right. A lot of elevators.
And elevators just in Star Wars never work.
Right.
Now I'm trying to think of all the elevators that we see. Well, there's a lot of I think every
top 10
movie.
Elevators.
I guess
Star Wars.
There's always a problem with anything, any apparatus that has vertical motion.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I'm trying to think now if there's an elevator in every movie. Anyway, call in.
Yeah,
let us know.
I got to think.
Yeah.
Trying to think of one in Empire.
Cloud City.
Well, there's a Wilhelm scream in every movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get that
and
in
this
here.
This is so what we get in this minute.
Mm-hmm. This is a good, let's step through it chronologically. It starts with, the Palpatine and Anakin are leaving. Palpatine's got this great, as he's walking through those kind of light strips, you know, there's lighting effect happening from the ceiling that totally, as he walks through it, he gets really kind of well lit and pale. He gets kind of like blown out.
Oh, I didn't
a little bit
that.
Like the Emperor, like as we later or earlier know him,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was cool. I don't know if that was intentional. I'll assume it is.
You mean right at the beginning of the minute?
Yeah, just as he walks through each strip of light, he becomes like the Emperor a little bit and then walks back out and then walks back in and walks back out.
Also right at the beginning, like musically, there's not a lot of score happening in these minutes, but there's like underscore. So there's like this descending half steps that are in the strings, and that just makes it so creepy. Like whenever I'm a composer, so whenever I write stuff, I know that I'm evoking something creepy when I use like especially descending half steps.
Can you replicate what that would sound like for a non-musical person?
So a whole step would be like la la, and a half step would be like la la. It's the halfway point in between the whole step.
Yeah.
So if it were descending half steps, it would be like da 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 da.
That's the creepier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. As opposed to like da 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 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds more pleasant the second time than it's like, oh, this is, they're going someplace nice and like they're done.
Right.
But that half step.
So it was
thing,
like a classic like score moment.
Totally. Yeah. Nice.
Well, I appreciate having you on because me musically, I'm totally like a dunce and I don't really notice the music
great.
As much. So feel free to comment on the music as much as you
well,
want. That's something I feel like we kind of, that's an area of weakness for us.
Well,
so,
you better have me back when there's actually score happening.
Okay. Well, we'll see how the rest of the week goes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, how this shakes down.
One thing I do notice, the sound effects.
Right.
In this, I noticed something watching it with my earbuds in that I'd never noticed before. Because when the minute starts off with Sheev saying, well, this isn't the first time you killed somebody. Remember what happened to when your mother was killed by the Sand People? And right when he says Sand People, in the there's spaceships battling outside, and one of them sounds really a lot like a I forget what is the current nomenclature, a Gorfus, native Gorfus person. So check that out. It's I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that because I think because it was split between weeks, and so I'll go back and watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Be like, what? I know it's weird to watch it in non-minute format, but I'll try.
But also, that line, I read a version of the script that didn't have that line in it. That was like, remember what happened. I don't know how legit it was. Maybe it was just an accident, but it was a notable difference. It was like a different line instead. It was like, it's happened before, and then it's like, plus Dooku was too powerful or something like that, but nothing about, you know, it happened before and then actually defining what happened with the Sand People. I think maybe before they tried to imply it. I'm glad that they spelled it out though.
Right.
Well, especially for me, I feel like I'm far less familiar with A, this movie, and B, and the episode 2. So like reminding me of stuff is good in this, for this movie.
Well, I also thought it was interesting that Sheev is reminding him of past failures and when he, you know, because I'm sure he's not, I'm sure Annie isn't like, it's not a fond memory for him. I'm sure he regards it as like a personal failure that he flipped out and everything. So Sheev is kind of like negging him by being like, don't worry. Remember that other time you killed all those innocent people and children? It's just like that.
I mean, but he sees it as a positive. He's reminding him of his power and that he's capable of it and that he's done it before. So don't worry, this wasn't the first time.
Right.
I don't know. I could see it that way. Right.
Yeah, it happens.
Well, but
me feel a lot better. Remember that time you murdered him?
But I think because he feeds on negative energy, he wants
Anakin.
Yeah, that's
right. He's the ultimate nigger.
Yeah, he wants Anakin to feel bad about himself.
I never want to say that word again.
What, negging?
Well, just putting it into a noun. Oh, wow.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So anyway, so Sheev's like, let's get out of here, and then they leave. And nothing else.
Right. But and I love that. Yeah, Obi-Wan does the kind of Monty Python, like, I'm not dead. Like, and they're like, you know, like, no, don't worry, leave him. He's fine. Yeah. You know, he'll what is it? You know, he'll be stone dead in a minute or whatever. But is that his plan, I guess, that he, like, this is a perfect opportunity? I think we talked about this a little bit last week. Like, he would love to eliminate Dooku and Obi-Wan in the same swoop here and then just take Anakin off by himself, right?
It would be a tight
course, 100%. Yeah. Movie's almost done.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so. I mean, anything to get between those two is that's his goal, to get between them.
Right.
But Anakin checks on his master. Mm-hmm. And apparently he seems like he's okay.
Right.
I guess he's just knocked out. And then he, Sheev was like, you know, just leave him. And right. then he says his fate will be the same as ours.
You can get another one at home. Yeah. Come on. Like,
right.
It's lousy with Jedi Masters. But then he says our fate will be the same as his. Right. It's a weird line. And someone,
it is a weird line.
Someone said that. It's funny because all three of them wind up dying on Death Stars.
Right.
So his fate will be the same as ours because we're all going to die
down the road.
Death Star. Right. Yeah.
But that's only if you believe that Darth Vader and Anakin are the same person.
That's what I was going to say, is that right. Darth Vader actually murders Anakin on Coruscant
right.
Later on in the movie. But right. still, it's an interesting. Right. I wonder if that line was put there. Was that intentional to reference?
It was
the
intentional.
Fact that they all died.
I'm just going to make
Star.
That call. Okay, it was intentional.
Sure. Yeah.
He said his face when he says he seems to be all right.
Right.
Is really creepy.
Wait a minute.
It reminds
Anakin Skywalker being creepy.
Hard to believe.
We're going
to
talk more about this. I have a lot of thoughts about this. He's delightful. his tone of voice, it reminds me of like how he gets when he's more dark sidey.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this is a pretty staunchy light side thing right. to do.
Yeah, he's been pretty heroic here.
It's that determined face. It's his classic determined face. It's like when he's made up his mind. So this time, you know, it was for the good purpose, not the bad purpose, but still.
He gets a little like look down kind of through my furrowed brow. Like,
yeah, they really use those straight on shots of him like being defiant, right. just like doing his defiant face.
And his voice does always have a kind of like
gravity,
like, well, but also like a kind of wavering quality, like like he's like I don't know, there's like, something I can't do it, but like
the,
you know.
The teenage clerk from The Simpsons.
Yeah, but more like he's almost like, and I maybe this is intentional, but it's almost more like just bottled up anger in him, and he's just barely containing it, like
up, they will like be the same as ours,
like he's yeah, I don't like
sort of.
I don't know, like he's like he. Yeah, I can't.
When he says things, it's like he's simultaneously trying to convince himself of what he's saying.
I guess so. Yeah,
that happens a lot when he's talking about Jedi stuff. I know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Especially and dark side stuff too. Well, he doesn't know that it's dark side stuff, but maybe that's this. So this is more kind of Jedi-ish stuff. So maybe he is trying to convince himself that he has to do the right thing. He doesn't really believe that he needs to do the right thing here. He does not like. He's not like, I have to save Obi-Wan. He's like, I'm supposed to be saving Obi-Wan.
Right. Like, so. He's being like, I am not going to touch the cigarettes.
Right.
I don't want to smoke. You want to smoke.
Can we talk about the ships in the background that are happening?
Sure. Yeah.
So there's like this super elaborate battle scene going on behind us the entire time.
Right, because the other ship pulls up next to the...
Yeah.
Right, but like even...
Invisible Hand.
Like just while that whole section is happening, just like outside of the window, you see all the ships doing their thing. And apparently they... Like there's actual continuity with that, and they had to re-edit it like a ton of times because...
With the ships in the background going?
Yeah, I mean like, okay. Let's see. There's like a proper flow to the ships being animated in the background, like through the windows. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just incredible to me.
So you mean like there would be a shot of one ship chasing another, and then they would have to make sure that when they reverse the shot, those same two ships would go keep going, like that kind of a thing?
Basically, like continuity of the battle. Like there's an actual choreographed, like legit battle happening behind them.
Right.
I love the idea that somebody's job, like somebody was just the guy in charge of, you know, that battle in the background windows. And so then when they did, like if they did something, like you said, they used a different line in the script, like if they redid the line and shot it later and he was like, no, that ship's totally going to be out of place.
No, I heard that entire like first battle sequence just had to be re-edited so much because George Lucas kept changing the order of the scenes. And so continuity was like a total nightmare.
Right. Huh. I bet.
Wow.
Yeah. The little people on films. Gotta recognize them.
Yeah, well, it is a cool spaceship battle.
Yeah.
Especially when they start focusing on, I guess, that other ship. It's very, victory at sea kind of two ships next to each other and shooting like cannon, you know, like old school sail ships.
It was intentional, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which they probably showed clip, you know, just like with the original Star Wars, they showed clips of dogfights and World War II, World War One, you know, fighter planes. I'm sure they went and, you know, watched old pirate movies.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean, I'm sure.
But then in the middle of this pitched space battle, intense battle, all of a sudden Grievous says, prepare for attack? Like, they're in the middle of a whole big... I guess maybe he's saying specifically prepare for like to attack the ship next to us. But
I wasn't sure whether
that's
he
what I thought.
A battle going on.
No, that's what I thought. It was just like prepare to do the next blast or whatever.
See, when he says, he actually says prepare for attack.
Prepare for attack.
And I don't know whether that means prepare to attack or prepare to be attacked. Mm. Like prepare for attack, put up the shields and all that stuff.
Mm.
It could go either way.
If it weren't Grievous, I would think this latter, but I actually just think it's the former.
So you think they are preparing aggressively to attack. Okay. I also don't understand like why they have the Emperor, they have Sheev. Why aren't they just jump to light speed and go away? I mean, I know ultimately this is all part of Sheev's plan. But like, what did he tell Grievous? Grievous is like, okay, and then as soon as we get you, we jump to light speed, right? And he's like, no, stay, linger around for a while. Why don't they, what is the ship doing at this moment that it's not that... that they're kind of like it seems like it's mostly empty,
right?
So anyway, it's just the whole point of the battle seems strange to me. If he's if it was to get the Emperor, the first thing you'd want to do is to get him away.
The Emperor is bait, essentially, right? The I'm assuming that Sidious told Grievous, hey, go, you know, I've hooked something up. Capture.
Right. Well,
he told
Dooku to tell. That's a whole other question, but
who knows?
All in on it. Even Dooku.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. Like, yeah, I guess Dooku knows both sides of Palpatine's, but like, does Grievous know that Palpatine is Sidious? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'm always going to assume that nobody knows except for a few people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
I just can't see Grievous pulling off the acting necessary to convince, you know. You know, when they're all together, like on the bridge. Well, we'll save that for when they're all together on the bridge.
But so then so Sidious told Grievous, hey, I set something up so you can abduct
Palpatine.
Is he Chancellor still with
Supreme
powers?
Chancellor.
Supreme Chancellor.
Supreme.
Yeah. So he's got sour cream.
Jar Jar gave him the powers last episode.
And then so he probably gave him the whole plan where he's like, all right, so I've set this up, abduct him, don't go anywhere. Just get him, because then the Jedi will come to you. And I guess we want the Jedi. Is that what his... Like, how much did he tell Grievous to do? I guess that's the question.
Like, why would he be so aggressively pursuing the Jedi? Is that your question?
Yeah, and... Or, like, why wouldn't he just split once they had Palpatine there? Like, what's his reasoning?
Grievous's reasoning.
Well, doesn't Grievous just love to kill Jedi?
Right, but the whole mission was to capture Palpatine.
Right.
Well, unless told Grievous, maybe that seems like, hey, Grievous, you capture this guy, some Jedi will come along, you can kill them. That's like your bonus.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what his main mission is. That doesn't mean he's still not going to get some Jedi for sport, add some lightsabers to his collection.
That's right. True.
Like, it just seems like the little bonus.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Bonus lightsabers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was, that confused me for a second until I realized he meant just this specific ship-to-ship combat. Right. Like, yeah. When in the middle of a giant battle, he's like, prepare for attack. And I was like, wait, what? You're in the middle. But yeah. It makes more sense. I understand.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I do like the laser cartridges.
I like that too, how they come flying out of the back.
Yeah.
It has a level of physicality to it that normal laser battles don't really have.
What do they do with those when they're done? I don't know. Do they like melt them down? Maybe they make, you know, battle droids out of the parts or something.
Jakku.
Like, yeah.
Oh, so right.
Jakku is littered with spent shells.
Oh, gosh. That's so sad.
Or maybe they, you know, they're that like corn plastic or something. Like, they'll biodegrade.
Right.
Maybe they're a very green army, the robot army.
We're taking this too far.
We see droids that are made, that have those bodies are made out of those shells. Like, they recycle them and turn them into little
arms. I would like that too.
On a big tube.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A series of tubes.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, then the Wilhelm scream.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's in this one.
And this scene in general, not only in the Wilhelm scream, but also just in the kind of, the way that it's laid out and stuff reminds me a little bit of the shots from inside the Death Star in Star Wars original flavor, where it's, you see like just briefly like those gunners or those big guns, like the one that came in the Death Star playset, which you love so much, Alex.
I remember it.
But there's just these, you know, cutaway shots. Those are really brief shots of like guys at these giant guns in the Death Star when they're doing the trench run. And so this kind of has a lot of that same physicality, so it referenced that a little bit to me, which I liked. And of course Wilhelm scream is always makes you feel like you're listening to a Skywalker sound production.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they got it out of the way early,
right?
Yeah, you want to get that out so people aren't distracted waiting
what are your current
opinions on the Wilhelm scream? Is it a fun little Easter egg, or is it a distracting gimmick at this point?
A little bit of both.
Mostly fun little Easter egg.
Fun little Easter egg stuff.
Yeah.
Good.
Right. I mean, if it's, you know,
you're
a thing like this.
Not too cynical yet. You're still.
Right. Yeah.
You've still got that excited spirit.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I think if there's like something like this where just something blows up and the guy screams and that, you know, makes sense. But if it, like, if there's too much of a scene kind of built around it, which happens sometimes, they like build it up and make it like, see, Wilhelm scream. Then it's like, oh, okay. Easy there.
I mean, this one is just so buried, and there's already so much sound design in this whole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a little bit of
regret.
Well, I don't know if this is topical now, but by the time this airs, it might not be. But I had a little bit of that feeling of, you know, kind of waiting for the Wilhelm scream kind of thing with Harrison Ford in the new Blade Runner movie. Where it was like, oh yeah, he's in this. When, like, and it's like this thing hanging over your head of like, there's going to be Harrison Ford eventually. Like, when are we going to get to Harrison Ford, kind of?
Well, did you feel that way about Mark Hamill in The Force Awakens, too?
Yeah. There you go. That's more topical. And
there we go. Keeping you on.
Well, they're both...
Wrong movie.
Yeah. Changing universes. Yeah. But, yeah, like, knowing that they're going to be in there, but, like, wait, where are they? You know, it's kind of like you get that kind of hanging over your head the whole time.
It's funny. For some reason, I remember feeling like... Like Luke was going to be a big part of episode 7. Maybe there'd been like leaks or something that he was only in it for a short bit or something. Or,
well, I think
he wasn't in the poster and everything. So,
plus they were talking about him a lot. So it's like he was there a little bit. Like, it's like, you know, there was like there's a map to Luke, and let's talk about finding Luke. And,
but anyway, we'll save that for, oh my gosh, next year.
Wow.
Yeah. We do Force Awakens as the next movie.
Oh my God. Wow.
That's so crazy. Oh. That seemed like so far away, not too long ago.
My goodness.
You know, we're skipping ahead like 12 years or something. So.
Oh my God.
Here's a suggestion. I think there should have been a longer shot of them waiting for the elevator. It should have kept cutting back. Space battle, cut to them waiting for the elevator. Space battle, cut to them quietly waiting for the elevator, like, you know, looking at their watches.
You know what's interesting? That's an interesting stance.
I know.
One thing these movies don't have is enough people waiting around for elevators.
Right. No. Yeah, there's not enough slapstick for me in this, which is, I'm going to regret that a minute from now, I'm sure, where there's all kinds of dumb slapstick stuff happening. But I love elevator humor, so I think that would have been good here.
Rick McCallum thought the elevator scene dragged on way too long. Like, way too long.
Well, there's a bunch of deleted scenes.
Once they get in it, there should just be waiting for it for a while. Replace some of the stuff later when we'll get to it. But
well,
actually in the
he may have
shaft.
Agreed with you because he thought the way to cut it down was to, like, remove R2 from a lot of it, which proved to be, of course, that wouldn't have been a good decision. No. Turns out, like, R2 was everyone's favorite part universally, like, in all the countries. But...
all the countries.
But yeah, I can't imagine cutting R2 out more. He, like, makes it.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was funny that in the scene, he's like, they cut to this giant, like, battle of these two ships battling each other, firing thousands of lasers at each other, and they cut to Anakin going, the elevator's not working. It's like, you know, like, the most minute concern compared to the whole ship being attacked by lasers, and he's like, oh, the coffee machine doesn't work anymore. Can we get the maintenance in here to, like, fix this thing?
Yeah, like, cut back, like, that giant ship explosion, and, like, Anakin, your shoe's untied.
Yeah, like, some little minor,
minor
detail. The only other thing I had was for ring theory purposes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
This movie is, of course, supposed to parallel original Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
It's the motion picture. And in a sense, it does. They both open up with battles in orbit over planets.
Okay.
And also, they both have Anakin inflicting neck damage on someone. Anakin heads Dooku, and he chokes Captain Antilles, and then both of them have Anakin leaving leaving with a politician, but Darth Vader leaves with Princess Leia, Senator Leia, Senator Organa in this one, and this one he leaves with Palpatine. But anyway, I'm just that's ring theory, everyone. It's like they rhyme poems.
Have you started prepping your ring theory for Force Awakens yet?
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Right.
They're definitely consciously echoing.
That's true.
You know, but it's not even ring theory. That's like photocopy theory.
Bracelet. Right. Yeah.
Ring copy? No.
Yes. Ring goo. Well, that's all I have for minute 16.
Yeah. Crescenta, did you have any
more? That's about all I have.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right, well, there's more.
Yeah.
They're still waiting for the
elevator.
We have
more Grievous stuff to talk about. We can do that later.
All right. Well, hey, here's something I don't think we say enough. Why don't you... Do you ever feel like you wanted to send us a postcard or something?
Totally.
I know you do.
Wait, I do.
You do.
I care.
We have a P.O. box. We talk about it mainly on our weekend show, which is available for Patreon subscribers. But, you know, it's available for everybody. It's not just for them. So if you want to send us a piece of mail... you can send it to Star Wars Minute, P.O. Box 20139, Greedo Square Station. Yes, that works. It's really Greeley Square Station, but if you write Greedo, we still get the mail. Yeah, we
paid special arrangements.
New York, New York, 10001. So send us some physical mail. Don't send us anvils like those Pistol Shrimps guys. And other than that, I mentioned the Patreon. You can find us there on the weekend. And we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of
Star Wars,
Star Wars Minute.
Know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.